devouring cherries and seeing who could spit the stones furthest. Palin plucked a cherry off one of his spikes and popped it into his mouth.
Ah, this is the life for us, pals.
Without warning, an incredibly ancient hedgehog came crashing through the undergrowth towards them, waving a knobbly blackthorn stick. He was completely grey and quite shaky on his paws, but it did not diminish his temper.
Get ye gone, ye rascals! Ye cherry-thieving wastrels, be off with ye, or I'll lay the stick across your rubbing backs!
Palin stood upright, holding out his paws in peace.
Here now, hold hard, father. We're not robbers.
The ancient beast swung his stick at Palin, but he did it so slowly that the young hedgehog had no trouble avoiding it.
Don't call me father, ye young brigand. I wouldn't be thy father for a whole plum orchard.
The old hedgehog wore tiny square spectacles on his snout end, and as he swung the stick, they fell off. He groped about, still whacking out feebly. Rose dodged under the stick. Retrieving the spectacles, she held the blackthorn tight as she resettled the glasses on the grey-snouted creature.
There, that's better. We're not thieves, sir. We didn't know the cherry trees belonged to you.
He tugged fitfully at the stick that Rose was still holding.
Let go of my stick, damsel. You're no better than you should be.
Martin sat up. There was no danger from the old one, but he was becoming very tiresome with his insults and rantings. The young mouse spoke sternly to him.
Keep a civil tongue in your head, old one, and stop waving that stick about, or I'll take it from you.
The hedgehog managed to get the stick loose from Rose and adopted a fighting stance.
Oh, ye bald-faced mouse. So you want to fight me now? Then so be it. Come on, have at ye.
He raised a stick just in time for Boulder to swoop in and pluck it from his paws. She landed, shaking her head.
Agril, stop this. How many times have you been told the cherry trees do not belong to you? They are here for all creatures, not just for you.
The old hedgehog, Agril, knocked the heads from some daisies with his footpaw, muttering rebelliously.
Youngins today have no respect for age. Yon mouse with the sword offered me combat. 'Twere no fault of mine.
Grum stood up indignantly.
Oh, ye girt fibber. Marthin do'd no such a thing. You my crafty old beast, sir, begging your pardon if I do say so.
Immediately, Agril's mood changed at the sight of Grum.
Oh, a moly creature. Do accept my humble apologies, friends. Molies are the nicest and wisest beasts alive. Do ye and thy companions have a liking for cherry cordial? Follow me.
The four travellers looked at each other, nonplussed. Boldred shook with silent mirth.
Go on. Follow him. He's harmless, really, just a touch eccentric. I'm mapping his dream course. See you later.
She winged off high above the trees. Grum started following Agril, calling to the others.
Come on. I dearly would like to taste cherry cordial.
The old hedgehog lived in a hollow oak, long dead but still standing, with a small door over a hole at its base. They followed him in. It was cool and dark. Stacked all around its walls were kegs, flasks and gourds of cordial. Agril was very proud of his stock. He adjusted his glasses and peered closely at the labels on each receptacle.
Now, here be a cordial fit for kings and queens a score of seasons old. I lined the cask with honey myself to sweeten it.
There was pure white cheese and celery wafers to go with the drink. They sat on upturned casks as he issued them with wonderfully carved cherrywood bowls to drink from.
Cherry would be the best of all trees to make bowls from. Taste this and see what thee think of my art.
It was absolutely delicious. Dark, cool and sweet. Before they had finished, he was opening a large gourd.
This was made by my mother. Oh, 'twas made by my grandmother, I'm not sure. 'Twas so long ago. Notice, 'tis a brighter red and a fizzy taste, more suited to eat with salads.
Gourds were opened, casks unbunged, and flasks broached. Martin and Rose sat together in the cool dimness of the hollow oak, eating cheese and celery wafers, and sipping so many different cordials, each with its own history, that they lost count. Agril's voice droned on like a bumblebee, hovering round apple blossom, while outside the sun made leaf patterns in the still woodlands. Martin had never known such peace and happiness in all his life. He lay back and closed his eyes, the heavy fragrance of wild cherries scenting the air about him. It was night. Rose came slowly awake with the sensation that she was drifting, floating under the soft dark canopy of the sky, star-pointed and centred with a waning moon. The Mouse Maid lay at peace, feeling the swirl of water against silent paddles, hearing the gentle creak of timbers. She was on a boat.
Be still, little shipmate, and take your ease.
The strong, cheerful face of a big male otter appeared before her. Rose sat up slowly, trying to shake off the feeling of unreality.
Where am I?
Aboard the Good Craft Water Lily, and travelling on the Great Broad Stream. Lay back and sleep now. You're in safe paws, miss.
Martin, Palam and Grum were curled up nearby, their contented snores blending with the slight noises of the boat. The otter plied his oar with a hefty tattooed paw as he chuckled.
Oh, our girl certainly slipped you and your pals a good measure of his special sleeping potion. Them three won't know nothing about it until way into morn light.
Rose felt a helpless, pleasant inertia stealing over her as she slumped gently back.
You mean to tell me that Agril drugged us?
The otter grinned and winked at her.
Sure as my name's Starwort. That old edge pig don't like youngers no ways. He reckons the cherry trees are his, and it's good night to any beast that messes with him. Lucky you was with Bolred, or Agril might have sent you into a sleep you'd never wake from. As it was, he just popped you off temporary so as Bolred could get you out of the way. We had to sling you and your pals into hammocks and carry you a fair way to get you aboard Water Lily.
Rose half tried to keep her eyes open, murmuring drowsily.
Where is Bolred?
The short-eared owl's voice came from somewhere above her.
Perched nice and comfy up here on the masthead. Do as Starwort says, Rose. Go back to sleep.
The Mouse Maid could hear her own voice, as if from a distance.
Back to sleep.
The sun was up, and birds serenaded the new day from the thick foliage bordering Broad Stream. The travellers sat with their paws through the midship rails, letting the water run through them. A crew of 24 otters hauled the single square sail to catch the mild breeze, singing lustily as they heaved on the ropes.
Over Broad Stream comes from who knows where, it flows to who knows whither. And I sail with it here and there, wandering yon and hither. The place of waters is my home, for I'm a fearless rover. Through calm and storm I'm bound to roam until my days are over. Roll, roll and flow, and let the seasons go.
As the last deep bass notes died, a triangle's discordant jangle rent the air. Grum sniffed, his homely face lit up.
Tis Zoop!
Small otters poured out of the forecastle cabin, leaping, somersaulting and banging ladles on wooden bowls. Starwort's wife, Marigold, issued the four friends with bowls and ladles.
Were I you, I'd hurry. Those nippers will lick the pot dry. They're naught but stomachs on pores.
Over a charcoal brazier on the afterdeck, a fat otter called Stewart was dishing out soup, loaves of barley bread, and a concoction the otters drank called scupper juice. Stewart filled their bowls to brimming, cautioning them cheerfully.
Water shrimp borage and hot root soup, mates. It'll give you fur like velvet and put a sparkle in your eye. But drink plenty of that scupper juice to cool your gills.
Palam's eyes watered. He fanned his mouth with both paws and gulped scupper juice greedily.
Oh, my poor mouth's on fire. I never knew soup could taste so hot. Oh, my burning tongue!
Martin and Rose were suffering equally. The soup was delicious, but the hot root pepper must have been ladled into it. Tossing aside his spoon, Grum drank his soup with gusto. The heat of it did not seem to bother him.
Grr, this be wonderful soup, boy. First class. You uns have my bread and my drink. Give I your soup.
Willingly, they exchanged their soup for the mole's bread and scupper juice. Grum slurped away merrily, watched by the entire otter crew and their families. Starwort shook his head.
I ain't never seen a creature enjoy our soup so much in all me born days. We can't even take it without drinking scupper juice to quench the burning. Grum, matey, are you sure you never had this soup afore?
The mole wiped a bead of sweat from his snout tip.
No, sir, never. Though I wished I had. Think what I've been a-missing all these seasons.
Stream sailing was a novel experience for the travellers. Under the otter crew's helpful paws, they learned to reef and tack, scull, row and steer. Boldred had flown on ahead to contact the shrews. The otters reckoned to meet up with them sometime in mid-evening. Grum and Palin took instantly to the nautical life. The water lily was so large and flat-bottomed that they forgot their fear of the water. Both the hedgehog and the mole adopted the otter's rolling gait and stream slang.
Ahoy, Grum, matey! 'Tis a fair day on an even keel.
Ahoy, Palin, matey! Come and sit here midships and drop anchor alongside I, you mole's steam dog.
Martin and Rose clapped paws to mouths, stifling their giggles at the antics of the pair. Roach, tench, perch, and the odd pike could be seen through the clear running stream, following the water lily for the scraps that were thrown overboard. Sometimes they would cruise where the bank was deep-sided, enjoying the shade of the trees. Other times, they would ride out on the broad swell, catching the breeze. Rose watched Martin waving at a kingfisher, which hung over an inlet, whirring its wings in a ceaseless blur as it watched the water for small fry. It was an idyllic day. Early evening passed, colouring Broadstream's banks a limpid green that gave way to gold-flecked cerise in midstream. They heard the chattering and squabbling of small gruff voices from around a sharp bend in the watercourse. Starwart shook his head despairingly as he manoeuvred the tiller.
Them Broadstream shrews never stops arguing and disputing, they don't. I once saw two of them jump in the water and climb out to argue over who was the wettest. Reef, yes, sir. You two stream dogs. We're round on the point.
Palin and Grum attempted an otter's footpaw salute.
Aye, aye, steady as she goes, reefing and furling with all paws.
Pulling smoothly into the bank, they disembarked into a noisy chaos. The Broadstream shrews were odd little creatures, raggedy-haired and clad in baggy pantaloons. They all carried short rapiers, which they constantly drew and jabbed the air with when making a point. Boldred perched by their campfire, checking the charts and maps she had revised. The travellers sat alongside her, surrounded by a horde of curious shrews. She squinted her large round eyes in exasperation.
Shrews? They don't even have a leader of this tribe, but each one thinks that they are in charge of everything. Listen to them.
I'm not sailing tonight. We've been on the stream all day.
I want to sail tonight. It's the best time for voyaging.
We've done enough. I say we don't sail for the rest of the season.
Who asked you? Keep your opinions to yourself, rush mouth.
Ah, rush mouth, is it? When was the last time you put bow to paddle boat bottom?
Boat bottom yourself. I vote we run the logboats ashore and careen them. The holes are filthy with moss.
A good voyage. Take the moss off them. You take my word.
I won't take your word, but you'll take the back of my paw if you step on my tail again.
The otters stayed on the water lily, shaking their heads sternly at the bad behaviour of the little squabblers. Grum had been nosing around the fire, tasting the food from the various pans and cauldrons. He pulled a wry face, whispering to Rose.
Grr, no wonder they be ill-tempered. E food tastes terrible, Miss Rosa.